Hello and welcome to another new Taking Care of Business Live in the studio. I'm Jackie Mitchell. Great you could join us today as we get organised. Today's organised show is brought to you by our great friends at eView Real Estate. So today's show about getting organised, we're going to touch on time management, we're going to talk about decluttering, we're going to talk about some tips to help you get organised for tax time, as many tips on getting organised as we possibly can. And if we can save 10 minutes a day or 5 minutes a day, that's got to be a good thing. So I thought we'll start right from the very beginning. It's always a good place to start, isn't it? Our first guest, we have a doctor in the house, Carol Martin, who's a professional organiser and is also known as Dr. Declutter. Welcome back, Carol.
Thank you very much, Jackie. It's great to be back.
Now, you're immediate past president of the Australasian Association of Professional Organisers.
That is correct, yes. So there's a whole lot of other organisers such as myself out there doing similar type of work, or they would specialise in a particular area.
And an association for professional organisers, when was that created?
We are celebrating our 10-year anniversary.
10 years. Mm. Who would think there's associations for sort of everything now? But I love that there's professional organisers. And it's not just some people think a professional organiser is an event manager or a personal assistant, but it's more than that, isn't it?
It is. It is very much around setting up systems for people that are easy to use and that are low in cost. And it's about saving time.
Yes.
So if we can help our clients save time, then that is what we do. And for each and every client, that is something different. Where a lot of clients that might find that they're really busy professionals and that would be having an office from home, but their systems don't support them able to save time. So we'd help them in moments like that.
I'm a big fan of systems. Every great business has always got great systems, and I think that's a really good tip to start with. But talking about time, I then went, who could I get with Dr. Declutter? Because it's all about time. Well, I thought my favourite time management expert is Kate Christie from Time Stylers. Hi, Kate.
Good morning.
Good to have you back again.
It's great to be back.
Those on our Facebook page would see that we've got a competition running, or a little bit of a competition. I love a contest. And you can win, there's 5 copies of Kate's she's a best-selling author, your book, Me Time.
That's right.
If you're listening now and you go to our Facebook page, all you got to do is put your time management tip in there. There's quite a few there already. And I will be announcing those winners at the very end of this show. So you've got the next, 50 minutes to get on our Facebook page and comment on that. And then I'll organise the books to be time efficient, Kate, rather than people coming in to collect the book into the studio. I'll organise for the books to go to them.
Sounds great.
I thought that made more sense.
It does make sense. And I've signed all of those copies too, Jackie.
Oh, good on you. Oh, I love that. A signed best-selling author. That's really, really good.
I know. I'll have to keep my eye on eBay just to make sure no one's trying to sell them for millions.
Now, I know that you've been away preparing your next book.
I have.
Tell us about that.
So my next book is all about smart time management for doctors. So I'm going to be running or writing a series of books. Well, post the first book, I had a lot of people approach me from particular professions saying, can you write a book for doctors, or can you write a book for
dentists,
lawyers or dentists,
yeah,
or whatever,
yeah,
radio hosts.
Yes.
And so I decided I'm going to write a series of books, and I'm going to produce one a year, and it's going to be very targeted at the unique time management issues that particular professions face. So the first one's for doctors.
As a marketing strategist, I think that is a brilliant idea. It's all about targeting and focus.
I'm wondering whether that would mean that next time we go and visit the doctors, that if they do use your book, does that mean we'd actually have appointments on time?
Well, that's definitely part of the aim. And it's also about often the research I've done and speaking to doctors, they genuinely would like to get more time back but can't see that there's a way there. They really feel that they're operating at maximum efficiency, and they're not from a time management perspective. So it's about making sure that they see that, not only to make sure that they provide great customer service to their patients, but also so they get a bit of time back so they can live a more balanced life.
Yeah, that's a good point. Carol Martin, Dr. Declutter, when you go and do a diagnosis for a client, what does that involve?
That involves going to their home or office mm-hmm. and having some time with them to find out where the blockages are. Where is it in there that the systems fall down? And part of it is also observing their own habits and behaviours. So it, as an example, I worked with a client recently who was working from home but found that she was setting up at the kitchen table. And so her office was in a different room, but we brought everything to be closer to where the kitchen table was because A, she had the space, and B, it's what she was doing naturally and intuitively anyway. So it's around working with what systems clients currently have and then building upon that.
That's a really good point, because as you were telling that story, my head thought, oh, she's going to tell her to get out of off the kitchen table back into the office, but it's quite the opposite.
For me it is, yes. Right. It's and there's no one system that suits everyone. Mm-hmm. I'm a firm believer in the systems need to support the people rather than, you know, trying to get the clients to fit systems. So for everyone it's different, and that's what makes it really quite fascinating.
What's a common mistake that you find in your travels when you're organising people, particularly those, I suppose, with home offices?
Rushing out and buying expensive products that they do not need. Mm. And that would be the last thing that we look at, because often it's around decluttering first, then it's sorting and organising and keeping the things in the office that people, that the clients really need. So often it becomes an area that is that can be a junk room for some people. So it's about making sure that what's in that room is needed and not having to waste money on products that aren't going to be useful for them.
Right. Okay, Christy, what are some good tips? So just going on that home office theme for someone working from home that could save time, because it's a bit of a... it's a bit of a myth sometimes, because working from home, you have so much more time. You don't have to, you know, battle the Monash Freeway or you haven't got the time travel. But then you go, oh, I'll put a load of washing on and things like that. But then sometimes it can actually be a huge time waster. What are some tips to help?
Look, working from home can be really challenging, particularly if you're on your own. And you don't have a staff member or a team that come to you, because it's all about that self-motivation and discipline. And I think the a couple of tips are to make sure the space is decluttered, because a cluttered space is going to mean a cluttered mind, and you're not going to want to spend time in that space. And the next tip would be to make sure you organise yourself the night before. So have a very clear to-do list for the following day that sets out your priorities for the day. So pick your top three priorities. And then rather than just throwing yourself into that the next day, you should then identify how long, or estimate how long you think each of those tasks is going to take, so that you hit the ground running the next morning with some timeframes in mind.
I like the way you are talking very much around getting your office organised and setting up the time management. One of the things that I say to my clients is set yourself a starting time to begin work. Come dressed in your office as if you are at an office outside of work. So rather than sitting there in your pyjamas and doing your work, dress as if you are. And it's amazing what a psychological difference that it makes, or it can make. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Do you agree or disagree?
I understand how that would work for some people. I'm very much a comfort person, so if I haven't got meetings and I'm on the phone or on the computer all day working with clients, I'm quite happy to be in my tracky dacks and my UGG boots, which I know is probably goes totally against Dr. Clutter's advice there, but I go for comfort. And again, as you know, Carol said at the start, it's about working out what works for the individual, as opposed to having a system that you then, you know, impose on upon everybody.
It's an interesting discussion to have for those working from home. And there's some people I've had discussions over the years with, and I always find it funny. There's one person I know who can work from home, she can wear whatever she wants, but she needs to have shoes on. She can't work in socks, she can't work in bare feet, she can't work in thongs, she's got to have shoes on. And someone else, for instance, gets in the car, gets dressed, just however they want to dress, you know, smart casual, whatever, and not necessarily a suit. Gets in the car though, drives and gets a coffee from the local coffee shop, brings the coffee back. So they've actually gotten the car, driven around the block and come back, and that for them is their sort of mental starting
gauge.
Yeah,
and I think it's about having those systems in place where this works for me, this is what I'm going to do. I definitely agree with having a hard start time. And I think that something else that works well from a time management discipline perspective from working from home is having those blocks of time in your calendar, which we talked about when I was on the radio last time, where you don't just sort of go with the flow, don't jump straight into your emails and be reactive. Have a structure for your day and stick to it.
I like that. That's a good way to lead us into the break. You're listening Smarter, Not Harder, here on Taking Care of Business, only on RWP FM. Yes, we all do have bills we have to pay. You're listening to Taking Care of Business here on RWP FM. And we are talking about getting more organised on today's show. And it's a business show, so we would be remiss not to talk about getting more organised from an accounting perspective and also a tax perspective. So we have here our expert in that area, Sam Keats from Keats Accounting. Welcome to Taking Care of Business, Sam.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. Now, I must ask you, I know you've been in business 6 years, or coming up to 6 years now, running your own business. What have been some key lessons in those 6 years that you've discovered?
Yeah, some of the things that have really stood out for me is around developing a team around you. And it doesn't have to be necessarily staff. It can be a business network, a group of referral partners that you go back to, or just some business champions, people who love what you do, who then go and tell other people about it. And that's the best form of advertising, and it's free.
Yeah, well, congratulations. You've gone over the magic 5-year mark.
We have.
Yes, that's obviously a testament to the sort of business that you run. What are some of your time management tips in running your own business?
The first big one for me is delegation. So we all have things that take up a lot of our time, but we're not necessarily good at doing, we're not fast at doing, and it takes away from any time that we can spend either generating an income through our business or growing our brand. Mm. So by bringing in some people, whether it's a virtual assistant for someone working from home or outsourcing your bookkeeping, if that's something that's taking you a lot of time, anything like that that can keep you focused on your core business activity and generating that income.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
It's a fantastic point. And it's not just about the time as well. It's about the costs that you then save. You know, what I always encourage my clients to do is to work out what their hourly rate is, their own hourly rate. And if your hourly rate is, you know, say $50 or $60, and yet you can get someone to do some of those more administrative tasks for, say, $20 an hour, then not only are you freeing up your time to do the more important task or the skills-based tasks, but you're also, it's costing you a lot less in terms of how you run your business.
Yeah, that's interesting because I do that as well, but I also add on a stress rate. So depending on how much I enjoy or don't enjoy something, if I really don't enjoy it and I don't like it and it's causing me stress, then I'll put a figure on that as well.
Oh, I like that. A bit of interest. Stress interest.
Stress interest. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And so exactly right. So if I'm, you know, $50 an hour and something's $20 and I really hate it, I'll go, well, you know what? That's now $80. You know, it's worth so much more to me than that. Yeah, it's a good way to do it. Sam, what are some good tips for running your own business and the accounting side? Cash flow is always king, particularly for small to medium-sized businesses. What are some tips that you could give us?
Okay, so automation is becoming a really big thing within accounting these days. We've got some fabulous accounting packages out there that are designed for everybody to use. You don't have to be a qualified bookkeeper to start using a cloud-based package like Xero. And it can cut your bookkeeping time down in half, whether you're doing it yourself or you're getting somebody else to do it. It's saving you time, it's saving you money because the program is doing a lot of the work for you. You're getting more accurate, more timely reporting. Everything is visible, and you know, we've got about 150 of our clients now using Xero to manage their business accounts. Clients are using it to manage their household finances as well. So things like that have been an amazing change for businesses and allowing them to take a greater control of their own finances and to actually really understand what's going on within their businesses.
But does that then put you out of a job?
No, it doesn't, because it actually gives us the time to spend with those clients on things that are actually more meaningful to them.
Yes.
So we're not at all scared of our clients taking more control of their own finances, because that's exactly what we want them to do. We want them involved
them.
The whole way through the process.
Yeah, yeah.
And we want to be helping them more with the planning and the strategic things rather than looking backwards at things that have already happened.
What are some things that business people can do leading up to tax time?
So now's a really great time to have a chat with your accountant about things like logbooks and diaries.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got a motor vehicle that you're using for business purposes, if you start a logbook now, it's actually valid for the 2016 tax return, and it may significantly increase the amount that you can claim back as a tax deduction. So that's one thing. I would suggest that it would be a good time for people to make an appointment with their accountant now and to have a half an hour discussion about whether some cash flow planning can help with their business. So things like, can you hold off on invoicing to push some income into next year, bring forward any expenditure from July into June to claim a tax deduction now so that you're getting the benefit for it within the current year? The other big one for business that's around at the moment is the $20,000 asset write-off.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah.
That's big.
So at the moment, that's running until the end of the next year. It's $20,000 per item. So if you were to go and buy a big piece of equipment, you can get your tax deduction matched in the same year as you purchase rather than having to spread it out over a number of years. There are no restrictions on whether it's a new asset or a used asset. There's no restriction on how many items you buy. It's a per item limit, and it's a really brilliant thing. You just need to remember that the assets need to be purchased, installed, and ready for use within the next 2 weeks if you want that tax deduction in this financial year.
Yeah. So now's a really good time to really get your head around the numbers. And as you said, I think that's a really good tip, is to look at, okay, you know what, we're doing really well this fin year. We might hold off invoicing till next fin year because it's going to make us creep into a different tax bracket or whatever for whatever reason. The other really good tip that my accountant gave me a long time ago is that looking at your cash flow and you think, oh, you know, you've got your $20,000 to spend and we need to spend some to help, is staff bonuses. Now, they're tax deductible as well, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Yeah, they are, yeah. So that's always a consideration if you're looking to offload some cash from a
Yeah, and it's also a really good time of year to look at supporting charities as well and making deductible contribution
yeah.
through your business.
Yeah, yeah. We're involved with some great charities here at Taking Care of Business. The Cancer Council is a great charity, and also Dress for Success, and we had MS a couple of weeks ago, and so that's actually a really good point as well. Carol, how do you, running your business, do you have staff working for you?
I do, yes.
So
I do.
How do you manage the accounting side of it? What are some of your tips to help?
Using Xero is certainly one.
Xero,
yes,
yeah.
I think it's easy to use. And for anyone who may be tech-tarded, I find it's a really good program to use. It's quite simple, and it's also aligned with my accountant as well, which is quite helpful. And one of the things that I'm very particular about is that I've got it set up that keeping track of mileage every time I use my vehicle, it's just now an inbuilt habit to record where my mileage goes rather than trying to guess at the end of the week or the end of the month. And it's quite surprising how those kilometres really can rack up.
Yeah, look, I love that word habit. And from a time management perspective, it's really about identifying the habits that are poor time management habits and replacing them with really good time management habits. So getting yourself into a state of mind, for example, where you record your mileage every day and you know that and it just becomes part of what you do, it just saves you such an enormous amount of time in having that paperwork current and up to date, and it saves you money.
It can, yes. And one of the things that I do say for clients who may not use packages such as Xero is there are a lot of apps where We can download them to actually scan receipts. So if that is all people are capable of doing, at least they're able to scan receipts and have them in the one spot.
Xero and some of the other accounting programs work really well in conjunction with that. So it's a really great way that you can make your office as paperless as possible by just taking a photo of a receipt, mm-hmm. and it then matches all the data within your accounting program. So if you are using an automated program, whenever you actually need a copy of the receipt, it's got a little PDF there attached to it. So everything's filed and you don't have to keep all the paper.
And it's stored in the cloud. So if you lose your phone,
it's perfectly secure. It's stored within the cloud and it complies with the ATO requirements.
Oh, that's good, isn't it? Mm. Carol, you talked about apps before. Mm-hmm. Are there any good apps that you can recommend that could help declutter our lives?
There are a number of apps out there that are around time management and building to-do lists and that type of thing. And there's no one particular one that I would recommend because it would depend on the individual. I do recommend, however, that people, if that is something that you are very particular about keeping track of, then have a look and see what they are. I know that certainly what I use as a way, a really good way of tracking things is something called Evernote, which can be used across all of my devices. Yeah. And it's a really great way of being able to track my forms and put to-do lists up there. But for anything that would be specifically to do with time management, maybe, Kate, there's something that you can recommend.
Look, what I always recommend to my client is you do need a time management tool. Regardless of what it is, choose one, but choose just one. So for people who are very technically savvy, don't just go out chasing the latest and greatest because you'll spend too much time learning it and running around. So ask your friends, what are you using? How does it work? Give me an hour's lesson so that you then know how to use it well. If you're not technologically savvy or you don't like apps, use your pen and paper, use your calendar, but choose one tool and use it all the time. It needs to be mobile. It needs to be something you can have on the go that you can take with you and use it well and use it religiously. The last thing you want is to be using tools that rob you of time because they take so much time to use. Yep. And that's why you don't want multiple tools because you're constantly cross-referencing between all of them. Mm. So choose one and make it work for you.
Yeah, it's a good tip. Sam, what are some of the common blunders that you find in dealing with clients that they make, the common mistakes that they, you think to yourself, God, if they could just stop doing that.
Look, talk to your accountant early. I had a conversation with a client yesterday, rang me from the dealership. He was buying a new car, suddenly realised we hadn't had the conversation about the best way to structure it, had a very quick conversation with the dealer and managed to change it so that it was he was able to get a tax write-off that he wouldn't have otherwise been entitled to. So it's always a good idea to make the phone call before you make any of those big decisions and just say, look, this is what I'm thinking about doing. What's the best way to do it? Keep all your paperwork, whether it's an electronic form or actual receipts. You can't claim something if you didn't actually keep the receipt. So that's a really, really big thing.
That's a good one. How long have you got to keep your receipts for?
It does depend. So it depends on whether what type of a taxpayer you are. So if you're unsure, just talk to your accountant.
Okay, great. So a company, is it 7 years or 10 years if you're a company?
It can be 7 years. So that's the common one. But it all depends on the date that you lodge and some other things as well. So,
But it's good to know, particularly from a decluttering point of view, Carol, when you time to shred those documents.
Yes, and I give this exactly the same advice. You know, it's speak with your accountant. They are their experts in knowing what the legal requirements are around those types of things. Yes, definitely.
We hope you are enjoying eavesdropping on our fascinating conversation. I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying listening to everybody. On the other side of this break, we will be talking to Darcy Allen from the Institute of Public Affairs, who's going to give us some tips about how we can cut red tape in business, which is always a huge issue. Some new research has revealed that red tape is even a bigger cost to business and the Australian economy than we first thought. And we have joining us now Darcy Allen from the Institute of Public Affairs. Good morning.
Good morning, Jackie.
Now, Darcy, what is this new research? Tell us a bit more about this.
Well, at the IPA, we believe that a fundamental problem in Australia at the moment is the cost of red tape. We think red tape is shackling the Australian economy. So what we've done is we've we've created a new measure of how to figure out how what this is really doing to the Australian economy. And this is around $176 billion every year. Now, that's a huge number when we put that into perspective, that if it was an industry, would be larger than any other industry that we have. It's more than we pay in income tax or company tax. It's a really, really big number. And we're looking to ways how we can cut red tape to unleash this amount of money.
Yeah, that's incredible. How does Australia rate globally?
Well, this is one of the major problems, is that it's really hard to get a grasp on the whole problem. In terms of international competitiveness, for example, Australia ranks in the bottom half of countries. A World Economic Forum report suggests that we're 80th in the world, and that's behind many of our major competitors. We're behind Singapore and China and the United States, and that's largely because of restrictive red tape that's stopping our businesses from doing what they do best.
And being so far down the global ladder certainly doesn't help our innovation boom at the moment, does it?
That's exactly right. Well, we're hearing so much in the election about innovation, and we've got this $1.1 billion national innovation agenda. But the key thing to understand with innovation is that the main thing the government can do is actually get out of the way. So we know that the problem facing many small businesses and large businesses in innovation is actually how restricted they are in what they can test and experiment and try new things.
What are some common examples of this red tape?
So this is one of the major problems as well. A lot of it's got to do with the number of forms and compliance that people have to fill out. So in Australia, across all of Australia, there's over 30,000 licences, permits and approvals. And many of these are they're duplicated, they expire, you have to fill them out again and again. And what this does is it stops people competing in markets. When you've got things such as occupational licensing, for instance, which stops people entering into particular occupations, then this is a real problem.
Okay, so what are some plans moving forward from the Institute of Public Affairs? What do you recommend the government needs to do besides getting out of the way?
Well, the first thing is that the government really needs to recognise this problem. We're right in the middle of an election campaign at the moment. Every election campaign for the past 20 years, at least the last 20 years, has had cutting red tape as a core part of the agenda, but we're not really hearing about it at all. What we think the government should do is we're working on a number of processes that we can put into the system that will prevent this from happening. So one of the major causes is that some other recent research we've done is that the Commonwealth government, has over 1,100 entities, bodies and stakeholder groups. We went and counted each of these, and there's around 500 that are involved in regulatory design and enforcement and advice. And what we need to do is get a grasp on all of these bodies. Who are they? What are they doing? Because one of the major problems is that because it's so dispersed across all levels of government, it's hard to grab onto a particular body. One other thing that the government could do, the next Australian government should implement a particular cut red tape minister who's in charge of this process and oversees the process.
Yeah, I just had in my head then the cut red tape minister with the biggest red scissors ever as their logo. Now, Darcy, can you just explain for those of our listeners not quite sure who and what the Institute of Public Affairs is, can you just explain briefly what it is you do?
Yes, of course. Well, the Institute of Public Affairs is now 76 years old, and what we do is we have around 4,000 individual members, and we research and we advocate for free markets and personal liberty. So we believe fundamentally in lower taxes and smaller government. And we write research and then act in the media, like this, advocating for those ideas. We believe that Australia will be a more prosperous society when the government gets out of the way.
Yes, well, we like to, on behalf of businesses around Australia, would like to thank the Institute of Public Affairs for bringing this red tape notion to the fore, because it always is a huge problem, particularly for small business owners who waste a lot of time filling out forms and being compliant when things can be done a lot more efficiently, I'm sure.
That's exactly right. And one of the main problems with small businesses is they're the ones that are most affected by this. Some research in the US, for instance, suggests that small businesses face 36% higher red tape costs than do larger businesses. And this is because the small businesses simply can't absorb the cost as easily. It's harder for them to have specialised staff filling out these forms. There was some other recent research by the Australian Chamber for Commerce and Industry, and that was a survey. And what it showed was 47% of small and medium businesses red tape prevents them from making changes to grow. So they're stopped from hiring that extra worker, for instance, because red tape gets in the way. It's all simply too hard.
Darcy Allen from the Institute of Public Affairs, we thank you very much for your time this morning.
Fantastic. Thank you, Jackie.
Thanks. Bye-bye. We are getting busy. That was Sean Paul. Getting very busy there by the sounds of things. We are talking about getting more organised, which is always a good topic, regardless if you're in business or not, I think. We have here in the studio Carol Martin, Dr. Declutter, Kate Christie from Time Stylers, and Sam Keats from Keats Accounting. Now, we had Darcy Allen just before the break there from the Institute of Public Affairs talking about cutting red tape, and I did like his minister of, what was it? Minister of cutting.
Minister of red tape.
Yeah, the minister of cutting red tape, yeah. Or something. Did make me laugh. But red tape is a huge issue, particularly for small business. Sam Keats, when you're dealing with clients, you have to deal with a lot of red tape from an accounting and tax perspective.
Yes, we do.
What would you do if you were the minister of red tape? What would be some of the things that you'd do in your, you'd say, right, this is my policy. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to cut this out, or I'm going to introduce that.
Look, a little bit of consistency from year to year, I think, would be fabulous. It's that's what a lot of businesses struggle with, is that something that's the rule one year may not be the rule next year, and it is constantly evolving. The simplified tax system perhaps isn't quite as simplified as the government would like. So that's something that needs to be dealt with. We just have far too many rules and regulations around taxation,
yeah.
That, you know, really don't make sense to a lot of people.
It always made me laugh, the irony on the BAS statement. You know, at the end of it, they say, how long has it taken you to fill out? Really annoyed me. So I used to like put, you know, 104 hours or something. But the point was to say, well, yeah, you know, you've added all this extra time to, particularly for small businesses who don't have the staff or resources to do that. Mm. Do you find that an issue?
Absolutely. And I think until the time that Sam is appointed as minister for cutting red tape.
Yeah, well, I think we could start something here, Sam.
I know we have a campaign. But until that point in time, as small business owners, really my advice or biggest tip would be you just have to eat the frog. And there are tasks that we don't like to do.
What does that mean? Eat the frog? I've never heard that before.
Okay, eat the frog is basically the unpalatable task.
Okay.
So the tasks that we put off because they're just not sexy, they're not important in terms of growing your business, they're not exciting, and they sit and they fester. And there comes a point in time where you just got to eat the frog.
Okay, so it's like swallow concrete and harden up or something like that?
Well, more like just stop putting stuff in the too hard basket.
Yeah, yeah,
you
know,
you
okay.
have to get to it at some point in time. So schedule the time in for the compliance, the regulatory, the red tape items, get them done and then move on. And then when Sam gets appointed, then, you know, we'll all celebrate.
Yes. Minister Keats, what do you think?
Look, I get people, new clients coming into me on a very regular basis that will be very behind in BAS statements, tax returns, whether it's personal tax, business tax, and we simply don't work that way because it's a waste of everybody's time and energy. But one of the big things that has come out through these conversations is it's never as big a deal as is people build it up to be in their heads. They always imagine it's going to be a lot worse. Get the right person involved, get it sorted, and it will just lift such a weight. And people tell me they sleep better knowing that everything's under control.
Yeah, well, if I was minister for red tape, I'll tell you what I would do. Now, my number one would be to coordinate all the registrations for a business. So finally they've got it on a national scale. Remember, you have to register a business name but in each state. Now it's collectively nationally. That's good. But that needs to link into domain registration, and it needs to link into trademark registration and patents. They all speak separately. It needs to be all linked in. If you could just go to one place and get all of those things done, that'd be much more efficient, I think. Because I know people register, for instance, for a company, Sam, that they'll register a company, and then they'll assume that they've got the trademark, and it's a completely different process. Or they've registered a domain name and think, okay, that's my business name because I've got the domain name now. That's my, and it's not. It's a completely different, separate thing as well. That would be number one. Number two would be that I'd have all public holidays in Australia at the same time. And that's just a general annoyance. But anyway, I'll just get that off my chest. Carol, you've got something to...
That sounds perfect. Just following on from what Sam was saying there about working with clients that are wanting to get their BAS statements or their taxation done, and that's certainly when I work with clients who are behind in that, it's very much around setting up some systems that they can support them with sorting out the paperwork in the past, but also moving forward. The real key is what they can do in conjunction with their accountant to be able to support that moving forward, which is so important.
Yeah, well, I make a bit of a joke with clients and tell them that I will nag them until they keep everything up to date, so they're not going to have a choice because they don't want to get back into the position they've been in before. We're breaking those bad habits and creating some good ones.
Nice. And understanding the consequences, I think, are important too. Particularly in small business, it can be very reactive by nature. But understanding to say, okay, if you don't get this done, like you don't like it and it's a pain and, you know, and you're not eating the frog. Okay, that's funny. But it's understanding the consequence. If I don't get this done, how I'm feeling now is going to be 10 times worse than if I don't do it.
And the tax office are being really, really nasty with penalties these days. The rate of fines is rapidly increasing. So they're not giving anyone anywhere near the leeway that they used to in time gone by. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. So it's more important than ever to keep on top of it because that really is dead money and nobody likes paying a $950 penalty just for lodging a piece of paper late.
Yeah, that's a good point. Have you got any tips? You know, every year they say the tax office is targeting this particular area of business or this area of business. Have you got any inside knowledge of what they're targeting this year?
At the moment, they're targeting individuals who have deduction claims that are well outside of the norm for someone in that industry. A lot of people are getting letters saying your deductions are 50% higher than what we expect for someone in your job on your pay rate. Please get all your paperwork in line, and it's basically just warning you to make sure you've done the right thing. They're also targeting cafes and similar businesses at the moment.
Oh, there's an inside tip there. I'm glad they're not targeting time and decluttering experts. Or brand strategists. I'm glad that, I shouldn't say that, should I? I'm on radio, I forgot. I'll go on to the next question. Quick, Jackie, quick next question. Dr. Declutter, what have you got coming up for the rest of this year? I know you do a bit of training as well, don't you? Do some workshops.
Yes, I've got a workshop happening on Sunday the 25th, actually. It's a free workshop around paperwork. And in particular, it's around helping people who want to get their tax paperwork together. Lots of hints and tips around that type of thing, which is really important.
We'll put a link to our Facebook page for that. Whereabouts is it?
It's at my office in Elstonwick. Yeah. I can be contacted on 0449 156 246 if people would like some more information.
And you've got a website that people can go and have a look at?
Yes, it's drdeclutter.com.au, and it's doctor is DR, drdeclutter.com.au.
Your clients or people in general getting better at decluttering, or are they getting worse? Are they cluttering more? Is there any particular trend that you've seen going either way?
I'm seeing at the moment a lot of people who have homes full of possessions that they just don't use. A lot of impulse shopping at the moment. A lot of people that spend their time because they can nowadays with the way that online shopping is set up.
Yeah.
lots and lots of online shopping, clothes with tags still on that aren't necessarily used. So that's probably the biggest thing at the moment. And lots of paper this time of year, lots of people wanting to, last minute panic, wanting to get their paperwork in order for tax time for their accountants.
Yeah, it's interesting, this paperless economy that we're all supposed to be going towards, it's actually increased paper, not decreased paper, I think.
Level of irony in that, isn't there?
There is, yeah. A huge level. Kate, what are you seeing from a time management perspective over the last, 5 years or so? Has there been a trend that you've seen that we're getting better at or worse at?
I think what I'm seeing is that people are becoming more aware that they can make changes so that they manage their time better. I think there's that education piece there where people aren't assuming any longer that they're operating at maximum efficiency and being as productive as they possibly can. So what I'm seeing is people are more open to seeking help around their time management or around decluttering because they realise that there are experts in the space that can actually help them with this stuff.
Interesting, because at the moment everyone seems busy. You know, when you say, how are you? Oh, I'm busy. You're busy? Yeah, I'm busy. And then I go, yeah, I'm always busy. But isn't everyone?
That's it.
I mean, I'm no busier than anyone else, I don't think. But does that then mean, I was thinking about this the other day, does that then mean that we've become more selfish with our time, that our time becomes more important than other people's time?
No, look, I think I've written a few blogs about the whole busy phenomenon. Mm. And I think that what it is that busy has become a bit of a social status. It's important to be recognised by your peers as being busy. And so you see someone on the street, how are you? I'm busy. I'm busy too. And then you talk about everyone else you know who's really, really busy. And it's not a social status point. You know, it's not a badge of honour. People need to start recognising it for what it is, that it's actually a lifestyle choice.
Actually, maybe I'll ask you, you're busy. I'm going to go, not busy. I've got much time on my hands.
And I say to my clients, come up with a different answer because it's the equivalent to saying, hi, how are you? And someone says, oh, I'm so unproductive. No one says that. Yeah. And yet that's another way of saying, I'm just so busy.
Yeah, I'm disorganized. I'm out of control.
I'm disorganized. I'm unproductive. Yeah. I'm not operating at maximum, efficiency. So it's better come up with a different answer. I'm great. I'm terrific. It doesn't matter what it is.
Well, I've bought the soapbox out, can I just borrow it for a minute? Yeah, great. We're both on it now. Another big soapbox issue is multitasking. Everyone goes, multitasking, it's so great. You can get so much more done. It actually breeds mediocrity.
Absolutely. There's been a lot of studies into multitasking. More recently, they're saying that people who constantly multitask operate at 40% less productivity than people who single task. Mm. So as a small business owner, if you're doing that yourself, plus you have a team of five all operating at 60% of their capacity as opposed to 100%, that's an enormous cost on your business. So it's always important to single rather than multitask.
There is a theory around multitasking and why women are really good at it. And that is apparently going back to caveman days, is because women had a child strapped to their back and were having to have one eye on the weather and one eye on danger and having to grasp the seeds and whatever with both hands. That's why they're really good at multitasking and why men are really good at directions, is because they're able to use the mountains and the geographical location around them in order to read weather patterns and that type of thing.
That's interesting. Now, while you're talking about concepts and theories, Carol Martin, one of yours that I found most fascinating was the concept of in time and through time. Can you explain what that means?
In time, people are very much who are in the moment, and time passes without them being aware of it. In time, people are often late for appointments and whatever the case may be. Through-time people is literally where time passes through them. They've got one eye on the clock, they are often early for appointments, and they organise their time management a lot better. There's a whole lot of studies that has been done around that exact thing. So it's in time or through time.
Oh, if anyone wants to Google that and find out a bit more information about that, that'd be interesting, wouldn't it? I'd like to announce our winners for our book, Kate Christie's Me Time. We had lots of responses to it, and the winners are Tammy Blackman, Fiona Fraser, Deb McFedrin, Monica Chisanti, and Andrew Kerr. Congratulations. I'll be in touch and organise one of Kate's fabulous Me Time books, and you've also given books out to all our guests today as well. Really appreciate your generosity very much. Thank you very much again, Kate Christie. Always a delight to have you in the studio.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Time goes slower when you're in the studio.
It does.
Yes. I also like to thank Carol Martin, Dr. Declutter. Always good to have you as well, Carol. Nice to see you.
Thanks
again
for
contributing to a great show. And our special guest, Sam Keats from Keats Accounting. Your first time on the radio, absolutely nailed it. Congratulations.
Thank you for having me.
It's really good to have you in here as well. It was really good energy in the studio today. Also, I'd like to thank Darcy Allen from the Institute of Public Affairs. If you just joined us, you missed the whole show, but there'll be a podcast on the R2PFM website. And you can join the discussion on our Facebook page. In the meantime, we look forward to your company next Friday at 11 a.m. and keep taking care of your business.